speak on missions. My goodness. This is the opening of Missions Month, and turn to Acts, first chapter. We'll get there in just a second. As you're turning, let me just make reference to the card that's in your bulletin. That details out the next three Sundays of Missions Month and who's going to be speaking. You know, just sometime after service today, before next Sunday, take a look at that. Put it on your fridge. Keep it available. Do look through that, because I think you'll discover, as I feel, that we're going to have some great services coming up. Amazing speakers. And take time to look at that. But we're in Acts 1 today. I want to set the theme for our missions year and give you a little bit of a stockholders report, what missions has been over the last 12 months. Here in the first chapter of Acts, I want to just look at a simple verse, and you could all quote this by memory, I'm sure. This is a classic missions text. It's the eighth verse of the first chapter. It says this: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you," or comes on you. "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Again, "but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." The theme for this year is empowered. And let me define that term, empowered. Oop, got to turn it on. There we go. To be empowered means to be given power or authority to enable or permit. It means power added. If you are going to be empowered, that simply means that you're going to have a power that you don't currently have. As he said to the disciples, you will receive, same thing, future tense, you will receive a power, and in this case, a power to be my witnesses everywhere. Can I say it that way? Everywhere. We need to be empowered because what they faced and what we faced are the same. An impossible task. The task that's unfinished of global evangelization, 3 billion people in our world that have never once heard the name of Jesus. Folks, to reach them is an impossibility apart from the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Would you agree with me about that? If we're going to do that, we need to be supernaturally empowered 4 ways. The first is to be empowered in our vision. One of my favorite passages is in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. The enemy surrounds Elijah and his servant. They get up in the morning, and Elijah's servant is startled to see that they had been surrounded. He said, "What are we going to do?" And Elijah responded like this. He said, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elijah prayed, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire. Here's the truth. He wants you to see beyond the current limitations of your vision. Every one of us has vision. And what God is saying to each one of us, what God said to the disciples that day, is your vision needs to expand. You know, another thing, one week ago tonight, that John Stocker said as he stood in this pulpit and he said, "I hate mission trips, I hate mission trips, I hate mission trips, I hate mission trips." And then he went on to say that after he went on one, it was the most impactful thing he had ever been on. I remember standing in front of the church that we pastored in Illinois, our very first mission service. Some of you have heard this story. And I told the congregation, "Here's what we're going to do this year. You're going to pray for your pastor and his wife, because I could care less about missions." I really did say that. Talk about needing to make a pastoral statement. I said, "I don't care about missions. I know I should, but I don't." So this year, our goal is you pray for us that we'll get a heart for missions. They did. And now I have a passion and a plan and a vision that's expanded to touch every nation of the world. If you talk to me at all, you know that I care a little bit about missions. Honestly, I didn't then. But that shows you that he can take wherever your vision is at today, and he can make it into what he wants it to be. He can expand it any way that he wants to. If you'll lift your vision higher, he'll show you what you're not seeing today. And when it comes to empowering vision, I think of a couple of examples that I want to tell you about right now. Debbie, if you're still in the building here, come on up here. The microphone is right there in the front pew. Grab that microphone if you would. This is Debbie Keys. Most of you are aware she is the director of Midland's Diaper Alliance. And I remember before everything all just really took off, I remember 5 years ago inviting Christine and I over to your house. We had a meal, went down the basement, and you showed me pretty much an empty basement with some diapers in it. And you said at the time, I remember, you said, well, you know, now you got to know Debbie. I don't know. God's going to do something, maybe. I'm not really sure what he's going to do, but I just want to give people that are in need diapers. And that vision 5 years ago has gone wham! And something is going to happen in just a couple of minutes outside of the church that will show you how big that vision has gotten. What's going on in just a couple of hours?
Well, we have a little bit of a malfunction with the weather, so we are rescheduling what is happening. Grandma's pumpkin patch today, we're finalizing our Diaper Need Awareness Week, which is an event happening all over the country, diaper bankers all over, where we're just trying to bring awareness to diaper need and that families are doing without them. And Grandma's Pumpkin Patch has agreed if people make a donation to the Diaper Alliance, that they will give a family 4-pack of wristbands at no charge for the families to enjoy Grandma's Pumpkin Patch. Well, since the weather is a little wet, they're going to reschedule it for next Sunday. So I hope some of you can join us. It's going to be fun.
So what's happening? Tell us what's happening.
Well, what we were going to do there and what we will do next week is announce publicly that we have distributed our 1,000,000th diaper to families in need.
Yes.
So, and talk about expanding a vision. This was supposed to be a part-time hobby. We were supposed to help one or two agencies,
yeah.
And now we're diapering over 900 babies every single month. Thank you for your support.
That's awesome. And truckloads of diapers are coming in. She had to have a warehouse. The basement didn't work anymore. My point is this. Here's our point, is that the vision God gave for her, as she began to walk in it, God expanded and empowered that vision. And I don't know about you, but I sense that this is something that you think is a good thing in our community. And on your behalf and our faith promise, we'd like to invest into the Diaper Alliance. Now, here's what we normally do. The first service, we gave her a check for $1,000. And normally we confiscate those checks after between services because it's two services, you know, and then represent things on site. Isn't that, Pastor Lynn? That's what we do, and then we represent things because we want you to see the thrill and the enjoyment as well. We're not doing that today. This is another check for $1,000 for the Diaper Alliance.
I'm going to cry. That isn't very nice. Oh. Thank you, and thank
you're welcome.
You.
You're welcome. Praise the Lord. Be blessed. Be blessed. Come on up here. Then there's another vision that has expanded about a year and a half ago. Yeah, this is Karen Brokaw. About a year and a half ago, she went with our team, one of our teams here from the church, down to the Atlanta Dream Center and was passing roses out to the street girls. And God just dropped a vision in her heart to that's something that would be good to do here. And so she got connected with Flint, is that right? Club ministry in Flint.
Yep.
And then started doing that for a year.
Yes.
It's been about a year. And then they expanded to Saginaw, right? Deja vu. I don't even know where that's at, all right? That's good. Yeah, no, I know where it's at. Not that I should know where it's at, but I... So for the last year, tell us what you do there.
Well, the opportunity got thrown in my lap. I was like, hey, God, if this is what you're wanting me to do, you're going to have to smack me in the face with it. And he did. The girl said, hey, Karen, are you interested in taking over the Deja Vu Club? And I said, I've been praying about that. And she goes, well, I've been praying for you to come for a year. And so we go in there, we bring food to the girls and everybody to eat, even the doormen. We bring in food, it starts conversation. We've ate with the managers and ate spaghetti and talked about Jesus. Then we take gifts to the girls and we chill out with them. We don't come in there with a Bible thumping them in the head. We say, hey, how you doing? Do you need prayer? And we bring them gifts and roses and whatever God places on our heart that week. It's very strategic. God told me to pick up 2 weeks ago, pick up zero-calorie lemonade and bring it in with the chicken nuggets that we had. And I was like, this is weird, God. And I brought it in, and I'm like, all right. So we brought it in, we set it up, and the doorman came over, and he goes, girl, you blessed me. Bringing in zero-calorie lemonade? We don't need no pop in here. We're trying to stay fit. Thank you so much. That blessed me. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So God is doing amazing things, and he's blowing me away, and I'm just saying, hey, God, here I am. So God is shaking the walls of Deja Vu. And amen. Also you guys with your blessings, God's using you, so thank you.
Amen, amen. So what you may not know is these girls are slipping her their name, their real name and number, and getting together for coffee and wanting to just hear more about her life and Christ. You're having a tremendous, when I say you are having, we have just partnered with her and gave you a check, I think, first service for $300 to help with the food and the roses. And you know, you may have figured this out already, but I have another check here for $300. And I'll tell you, when you give those girls those roses and that food, would you please tell them that there are some people who love them and care about them beyond what they are currently doing, and that God has a plan for their life to redeem them and take them from what they're doing and make something awesome out of that? Would you tell them that for us? God bless you. Thank you, Karen. Thank you. Bless you. Amen. He wants to expand your vision, empower your vision. Secondly, he wants to empower our message. Aren't you glad that the Bible and the gospel is not just about words? It isn't words on a page or history. It's alive. And he wants to empower the message. We sang it this morning. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Right out of Romans 1, because it is the power of God for the salvation, the rescue, the deliverance of everyone who believes. It's more than words. It's more than a novel. It's more than history. This gospel has been empowered with an intrinsic ability to lead the sinner to a Savior and accomplish the supernatural. I want you to watch this video of a Muslim who has come to faith in Christ because of the power that it's associated with the gospel. Watch.
Kamal Salim was born in Lebanon to a devout Muslim family.
From my childhood, my mom said, one day you'll be a martyr, my son. You will die for the sake of Allah and you will exalt Islam.
Kamal was 7 when his parents sent him to Muslim training camps to learn to use weapons and engage and kill the enemy. The boys were also taught another, more subtle form of warfare.
We were training for what's called culture jihad, which is shifting cultures.
By his 20s, Kamal was chosen to wage cultural jihad on America.
So I moved to the Bible Belt specifically. The Bible Belt was the strongest of strongest. That's where the stout Christians are. And I want to take on the best of the best because I considered myself as the sword of Islam. I thought, I'm anointed, I'm unique, I'm selected, I'm coming to a country and a culture to change it and I have the power of Allah with me.
He began targeting men from poor neighborhoods to recruit them to the Muslim faith. But one afternoon, his life would be in the hands of those he hated the most.
I was going from one place to another to do a recruitment, and that day I had a car wreck. The car wreck was so severe, I ejected out of my car, landed on my neck, broke my neck in two places. This man came running to me, and he said, "Don't worry, we're going to take care of you." The second day, I wake up in the hospital, and this head of physical therapy, came and read my chart. And he turned around and he said the same thing, word for word, "We are going to take care of you."
But recovery would take weeks. After being discharged from the hospital, he would need someone to care for him while he recuperated. Kamal had no one. So the orthopedic surgeon opened up his own home to this stranger.
In his home, they put me in the choicest room, in the most beautiful thing. I became like part of their family. They didn't see me any different. And now they have a basket set for Kamal. They put in money to free my bills from the hospital.
When Kamal was able to take care of himself and return to his apartment, the doctor had another surprise for him.
He said, "This is the keys to the house, and here's an extra key. This is your new car. We just want to bless you. You can come anytime you want." So I go to my home, and I cry up to my God. "Allah, Allah, my Lord and my King, why have you done such a thing to me? I'm okay with the car wreck. I'm okay with all this, but why did you put me among Christians? I'm confused. They're good people. There's nothing wrong with them. They don't want to kill us. They're not the same thing that I learned about them. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you love me. If you're real, speak to me. I want to hear your voice." Guess what Allah said that day? Absolutely nothing.
Kamal felt that because he questioned his faith, the honorable thing to do was to end his own life.
So I went to reach out my guns and put it in the right place and clock out. I heard the voice. The voice knew me by name. He said, "Kamal, Kamal, Kamal, why don't you call on God of Father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob?" And now I fell on my knees and I put my hands to the heavens immediately as I heard the voice, and I cried out with every fiber within me, "God the Father Abraham, if you are real, would you speak to me? God the Father Abraham, if you are real, I want to know you." Well, God the Father Abraham came to the room, and he filled the room with his glory, and his name was Yahweh, the Lord is one. In his hand, he has holes in his hand. He has holes in his feet. His name is Jesus. And I said to him, I said, "My Lord, my Lord, I will live and die for you." He said, "Do not die for me. I died for you that you may live."
Yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's the power of our gospel. And that's the message, that we empower 170 missionaries all over the world to deliver. They are, and he is doing this over and over and over again. If you want to know how to pray for someone in Islam or Hinduism or Buddhism, you pray that God gives them dreams and God gives them visions, because that's exactly what he's doing. I wish I'd have dreams and visions, but God's love for them is so intense that he will stop at nothing to reveal himself to them. That's the power of our gospel. We're empowered in our message. Finally, be empowered in our touch. Here in the text, we see that Jesus told them that they would be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Now, it's just as impossible for them then as it is us today. We can't reach everybody everywhere, but yet that's what he promises to empower us to do, to empower the scope of our touch. The unfinished task of the Great Commission will only be accomplished as we yield our resources to him and trust him to reach through us beyond our human limitations and accomplish what only he could do. And friends, at Christian Celebration Center today, he is doing just that. Last year, you gave over $726,000 to missions at home and abroad. You know, the national average, I looked this up, calculated it out. The national average for the per capita giving, per person giving in the Assemblies of God, this is not just nominal churches, in the Assemblies of God, the national average for missions giving is right at about $67 per person. I calculated what you give. We have given last year 12 times the national average in the Assemblies of God. Over the last 12 months, because of your faithfulness to the faith promise, we've been able to add 12 missionary families to our support. Isn't that awesome? The young families, the veteran families, the singles, the marrieds, check it out. Just because you were willing to be faithful, we were able to expand the touch. Last year, some of you will remember, we calculated what I would call our first and second generation of touch. What that means is this. We looked at everywhere our faith promise dollars had a missionary and were touching. And then we went to the second generation and looked at where do we touch through that missionary. We have a missionary in XYZ country, and then he is ministering in the country beside him. We wanted to know, what is our second generation of touch? And we put together a graphic similar to the one you see that showed both our first and second generation of touch. And we saw that it included every country with the exception of five. There were five countries that we had no first or second generation of touch. Now, prayer, we touch all the nations. But financially, there were five countries that we hadn't touched up to that point. Now, you might imagine that over the last 12 months, we kind of had a goal that we would eliminate those five black holes, as we call them. And we began looking and praying for specific ways that we could take your faith promises and make a financial contribution and touch those five areas. And this morning, as I stand before you today, four of those five have been filled, have been touched, if you would. The fifth one, two Sundays from today, and I'm not going to say it on for the recording. I'm not going to say the country. But the one on the far right, the little bitty one that you can almost not see. Our speaker for that Mission Sunday is the grandson of the first martyr that took the gospel to that country years ago. He is now going back to that country to take the gospel to that country. And when you give in the offering 2 weeks from now and you bless him, you are completing the last black hole of touch. And at that point, this church will have touched every nation of the world with our finances. Isn't that awesome? Now, I'll say, the only way that's possible, folks, is for the Spirit to empower us. That's the only way that things like that can happen. So how are our faith promises helping us? Now, I'm going to show you a couple of graphs, and here's the thing I want you to understand, is you're not going to be able to read everything on these graphs, not intending for you to necessarily, but I'm going to give a graph that will show a topic and a little bit of an overview of what we've done in faith promises in that topic around the world. My point is not to show you all the details. My point is to give you an overview about what we are doing. And this is just the last 12 to 24 months. And this is just after hearing from less than half of our missionaries. All right? So what I'm showing you is very incomplete, but it gives you an idea. Before you can share the gospel, people have to have the Bible in their own language. Would you agree with me? We have done numerous Bible translation projects. We have a translation now in Armenian for the entire Russian world. We've translated the parables of Jesus in Albanian. When I say we, your faith promise dollars have contributed to, along with others, these things happening in the last 12 and 24 months. Translation of the Georgian Study Bible. Translation of the Ethiopian Study Bible in Emmerich. And I love the one at the bottom. We helped to create a Bible app for kids in 8 languages. So far, there's been 8 million downloads of this Bible app for kids. And that's awesome. That's awesome. So we participated in Bible translation. And then once you translate the Bible, you want to do outreaches and do evangelism crusades. And so we did that. Just this past year, we distributed over 300,000 tracts in Spain. We had 9 outreaches to the Ecuadorian jungle. Today, there's a tent for 1,000 kids, and our missionary in Namibia, Africa, is concluding a 3 or 4 day group of meetings to get kids saved today, even as we speak. One of the largest outreaches in Namibia. 6 outreaches to northwest Nepal. And the 7th one actually happens in 2 more days. All these things and many others we're doing through your help with the faith promises as evangelistic outreach. And then humanitarian compassion ministry. Again, we would all fall asleep if I took the time to read all of these things. But can you just see by looking at the graph, wow, we're doing a few things when it comes to humanitarian work. One of the most important things I want to point out to you when it comes to humanitarian work and your involvement in Faith Promise is our partnership with Convoy of Hope. You may or may not know that Convoy of Hope responds to every natural disaster and humanitarian crisis in the United States and everywhere in the world. We support, through with your Faith Promise dollars, Convoy of Hope. What that means is this. When you are looking at the TV and you see whether it's the new hurricane, which thankfully was diverted, or whether you see a natural disaster in Pakistan, wherever in the world you're seeing something come across your news, you can know that your faith promise dollars are already there and are already at work in any crisis anywhere in the world. Now that is a huge thing, folks. We care about humanitarian work. But that leads to then salvation. Salvations and baptism. Well, we had 100 saved just not too long ago in 6 villages in China. 2 Mongolians have come to the Lord from our missionaries. 52 were saved in Belgium this past week. Just this past week, 15 of them baptized. Iranians were baptized in those meetings. 5 were saved in Scotland and some more in Azerbaijan. 500, talking about Convoy of Hope. We've done 30 outreaches in the U.S. and 500 of our own folks have been saved here in the U.S. 100 deaf kids got saved in Mexico City. And another 500 in the DR. There was 2 open air campaigns that were done in Cuba. First time they've allowed open air campaigns since the 60s. This year, within the last 24 months, 300,000 people heard the gospel and 30,000 Cubans came to know the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time. Praise God. Now, if you're going to get people saved, then you've got to plant a church. Your faith promise dollars have been planting churches. As a matter of fact, you've had a hand in 52 church plants in the last 12 to 24 months all over the world. Even in inner city East St. Louis, 10 inner cities of the United States, you've had a hand in planting churches this past year. 14 14. You have to add up 10 in Cameroon, Benin, and Madagascar. So you had 14 just in the continent of Africa alone. Folks, this stuff, are you understanding? This is as a result of your faith promise dollars in just over a year. This is amazing. And then once you get people saved and you plant a church, you got to train pastors. so they don't have doctrinal impurity. Well, you've been doing that too. You've had 4,311 educational touch points all over the world. 14 Bible schools you've helped sustain just in this past year and a half to 2 years with your faith promises. And then just today in Gabon, Africa, some of you know missionary Gary Dickinson, we are opening and dedicating today, right now, a brand new Bible college in Gabon, Africa. And it's just amazing. So you educate, you get them saved, you educate people. And then I guess probably the church is growing, so you got to build buildings. Well, in the last 12 to 24 months, you've been involved through your faith promises all over the world in building 25 buildings, 18 church buildings. Indonesia, 14 alone. And one of those buildings, if you remember, we fully financed. That was the Taylors that came here from Indonesia. And we paid for an entire church building. 25 church buildings all over the world. Now, folks, that's a lot of stuff. But here's what I want you to notice. Your faith promise dollars have been involved in the sequence of the entire process. Not just getting people saved. Not just feeding people or tending to their needs. No. The whole process from pre-salvation translating scripture to crusades, to salvation, baptism, education, and discipleship, planting a church, and building them a building. The entire gamut all over the world we've been able to do because of his empowering in the last 12 to 24 months. Let's give the Lord praise. Now, I want to say this. If you give to a missionary when they come, every missions offering, you will partner through the course of a year with between 10 and 11 missionaries and their projects each year. If you give in every missionary offering as they come in. Now listen to this. Listen very carefully. When you participate in a monthly faith promise and faith promise giving, you partner with 170 missionaries at home, locally, and around the world, and countless projects and outreaches from the slums to the city, the Balkans to your backyard, from diapers to deja vu. When you support faith promise, it's like tapping into a whole different level. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? This is why it's so important to have a hand in all of these things by giving a faith promise. Now, you might say, well, I can give to a lot of organizations. You can. But here's what we say every year, and it's true. 100% of your faith promise dollars go out the door. Now, I haven't seen a whole lot of charity where 100% go out the door. But I was thinking about it this week. And I talked to Emily in the finance office. I said, you know, help me think this through because I don't think that's accurate. Because, you know, the general fund gives missions a sizable amount as well in addition to your faith promise. Out of that, we take all of our expenses. And that's why we can say 100% of the faith promise goes out the door because the church gives us additional money. But the church gives us way more than what we need for admin. So that goes out the door too. And when you calculate that out, it works out to about every dollar you give in a faith promise, actually a dollar and a quarter goes out the door every time you give a dollar. Now, folks, I don't know anywhere where you're giving, you give a dollar and a dollar 25 goes out the door for every dollar you give. I don't know where you would get that, but I'm grateful that here you can. Praise the Lord. The last point is this. We are empowered in our engagement. Empowered in our engagement. You know, here in the text, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness. We are so grateful for the checks that people write. But you know what? Missions is beyond that, isn't it? He said, you will be my witnesses. And the Holy Spirit wants to empower our Engagement. Well, how do we get involved? How can we? There's so many ways to get involved in missions here at Christian Celebration Center. You can take out an international friend in one of our colleges. You can serve in a local missions outreach, many of them. You can be involved in our 8 regional teams in our mission structure. And that's one of the best ways to really begin to get a bigger vision for missions. I'm going to ask, in fact, if you would just take a card right from the front of the pew, back of the pew in front of you, take a card out. It says empowered, so you can hear, so all can hear. And if you look on that card, you'll see that there are a number of different, in the blue, there are a number of different regional teams that we have. And those regional teams meet and do exactly what you saw happen in front of you just a little bit ago. They pray for missionaries, they meet with missionaries, they look at their needs, and they look for opportunities that we can invest your faith promise dollars into the ministry that they do. And they have budgets to work on, and they can give $100, $500, etc., to meet a particular need. And they see, team members see exactly the gratitude from our missionaries that you saw this morning. Missionaries are so grateful. So if you would like to be a part of a team, now look, I'm really not asking for 300 people today to fill out these cards. I really don't know what I would do with 300 people if you did fill out the cards. I'm sure we'd figure it out. Here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for those handful of people who would say, you know, I've really been feeling a need to get more involved in missions. I want to do more than just make a faith promise. I want to do more than just listen to a missionary speaker. I want to get under the skin of missions and begin to rub shoulders with some of these missionaries and encourage them and thank them and hear what they do. Then that's you. And we need to hear from you. If you could just fill that out, you could check whatever area interests you, hand it to an usher on your way out in just a little bit as we dismiss. But before you, or as you're thinking about that, and before I pray and dismiss you, let me just say one more thing about the teams. What God is doing is absolutely empowering our teams and our mission structure through teams. What God is doing and what is happening is beyond anything humanly possible. And I'll tell you, we have missionaries come through every single month and say the same thing. We've never seen anything like this. The way your team members take care of us, we've never felt so loved and cared for. That's what the teams are doing. And I thought, you know, I could say that over and over again, or I could just let them tell you themselves. And so just before we conclude the service, would you just watch what your missionaries and our team members are saying about being on a team?
It's been great to know that there's just this team of people, and they're so consistent in keeping up with us and keeping in touch.
Like, I have little prayer cards in my bathroom that I've lined up on my mirror, and so every morning I remember, you know, I need to pray for my missionaries, and I get that done early in the morning.
This is, in my 37 years as an Assemblies of God missionary, been absolutely one of the highlights.
We have been just blown away by the level of love and care that oozes out of the people here.
I'm in a place in life where I can't go overseas right now and be on the mission field full time. For me, it's the next best thing because you're involved in it deeply in a personal way, being in contact with the missionaries every month. It kind of opens your eyes up to see what's going on in different countries, how God's working in different countries.
Every month we get an email from Bertha seeing how we're doing. And we can't really express how encouraging that is, that someone, like, on a regular basis, besides our mom, is, like, checking in with us. And it just means a lot. It makes us feel really connected to CCC and to the people here.
I'm changing the world by praying for them, that my simple, like, prayers and just, like, loving on them and sending them emails, like, I'm actually changing the world.
This group of people, this team is going to be interceding on my behalf. I mean, it is a powerful resource for us as a missionary family in Northern Asia.
You get that monthly communication back from the missionary, and you get to see what your prayers are doing around the world.
Wow.
I mean, I'm speechless. The passion for missions that's displayed in this church is just unbelievable.
I'm a part of something big. Someday I'll get to heaven and I'll see the fruit of these prayers and say, wow, it wasn't in vain.
I didn't realize until tonight just how serious you are about praying for prayer requests. I didn't realize it. And so I told Heidi, I said, well, you're going to get a lot more now.
Being on a team and having missionaries that you personally get to connect with just changes the whole aspect. You feel like you're in real time, like you're praying for needs that are immediate. And you're praying for missionaries that are out there right now.
And the fact that the team members really knew about their countries, you know, they really knew what was going on in that area of the world. And that just meant so much.
We go to a church where we have a real, very unique opportunity. A unique opportunity to actually have direct contact with missionaries. And you just don't get that, you know, I would say, anywhere else the way we have it here.
Well, I want to say, keep up the good work, because the sense of unity and teamwork, that this is not just something that the elders in the church do or the right. pastors do, but right. this is the whole church carrying this ministry, and that their participation is vital. And it's encouraging to the missionaries, and it makes a difference in the heavenlies.
On your behalf, there's currently about 130 CCCers that are involved on these teams that, again, on your behalf are blessing missionaries day in and day out. I didn't do this first service, and there's probably few because you split between the two services, but if you're on a missions team or you're a regional director, would you please stand? Congregation, can we just thank these team members for what they do? And if you'd like to be involved in that, fill that card out, give it to an usher, turn it in next week. We'll have the cards in the pews for the next couple of weeks. We'd love to see you involved as well. Well, the disciples had a next step. So we're going to empower. You're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. What was the next step? What were they to do with that? You might say, oh, well, they got filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, that's Acts chapter 2, but there was something before that. Do you remember earlier in our text or earlier in this passage, do you remember Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until the coming of the Holy Spirit. Go back to the city and wait. You know what their next step was? Real simple. Their next step was simple obedience. Had they not waited, hey, up to 500 people, Corinthians tells us, could have been present to hear Jesus say, you're going to be empowered and you'll be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world. 500 people heard Jesus say that. There were how many in the upper room? 120. Where'd the other 380 go? They apparently stopped short of taking that next simple step of obedience. Now, I don't know what that step of obedience is in each one of your lives today. Maybe it's making a commitment to finally get up the courage to influence your neighbor for Jesus. Maybe it's coming out at 4:15 and joining Sing Noel for the largest outreach this church does locally. Maybe it's coming to a GPI prayer meeting. Maybe it's making a faith promise 3 weeks from today for the very first time, saying, you know, need to do this. Maybe it's filling out that card and saying, I want to be a part of what's going on. I don't know what it is, but the Holy Spirit will make sure that you do. And if you take that one simple step of obedience, God will empower you to do what he wants you to do. And he will empower you just like he did Debbie, just like he did Karen, just like he does 170 missionaries all over the world. He will empower you to do what only God can do. Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you, Lord, for these people who love missions. They love your gospel, and they love to see broken lives changed. God, I thank you to be a part of this congregation where a pastor has faithfully sown into this congregation, into the DNA for 30 years. And Father, I just pray that you would just simply, at the beginning of this missions month, that we would just lay our hearts out before you and that each one of us would say, God, just speak to me. Show me what that next step of obedience is, because I want my vision to be increased for missions. I want to be where you want me to be when it comes to this all-important topic on your heart. Speak to us, Lord. And I know that this is a people that will follow through with whatever you say. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Would you please stand to your feet? And just before we go, you know, regardless of what God asks you to do, I don't think there is anyone in this congregation that can't leave here this morning feeling really good about what CCC is doing for missions all around the world. And before we go, can we just lift up a praise to the Lord and just thank God for what he's doing with us and through us and around the world? Go ahead, just begin to thank him. Just begin to bless the Lord. God, we are so grateful for all that you do, Lord. We're so grateful for your grace and your power and your transformation that comes, Lord God, across the sea and around the world, God, in our inner cities and everywhere, Lord. We're so grateful, God, that you do what only you can do, Lord. We bless you and thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be glorified and honored, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.